Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast. And we are coming to you recording on Thursday afternoon, as always, looking ahead to Saturday's IT racing. We've got two premier fixtures, we've got excellent action over jumps up at Ayr, obviously all on for the Trainers' Championship. Dan Skelton, Paul Nicholls, Willie Mullins sending a whole raft of horses to Ayr. It's going to make it so exciting over the weekend. And then we've got really good flat action at Newbury. So I am buzzed for this. Thoroughly looking forward to Saturday afternoon. I've cleared the decks, Daryl. Saturday afternoon is a deck cleared day. No jobs on, no work to do. There won't be anything being done except being sat on the sofa watching the racing. And that, my dear, is a rarity for me. And I cannot bloody wait.
Yeah, nice days like that, innit? Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend worth of racing. You're going to pay some tax, though, I think, on these Nicholls, Skelton and Mullins runners at the moment, because they're going to be towards the top of the market for reasons, just because people think they're just throwing them at the race to try and win any sort of money. So you've got to try and dance your way through some of those, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I was wondering about that in terms of like prices we're going to stumble across at this stage. Who's too short? Who's too big as a result? I think there'll be plenty of that sort of chat on this pod. Brendan, quick check in with you. 18 over from Ireland from the Willie Mullins yard alone up at Ayr, declared on Saturday. Is that a bigger number than you were anticipating?
Well, not really. We talked about this on the show on Monday. I mean, he wants it. He wants to be champion trainer in the UK. We don't think it's going to massively compromise his domination of Punchestown. So yeah, he's just going to win the lot. Plus a change, some would say.
Well, in terms of the prices currently, Willie Mullins is 2-7 for the Trainers' Championship. Dan Skelton, 11-4. Paul Nicholls, 10-1. Huge price, Paul Nicholls. Tony Calvin, let's do our traditional going update. Ayr first, please, followed by Newbury.
Yeah, I was chatting to someone earlier trying to guess the front page on the Racing Post headline on Saturday, and I think I've got a good one, actually. What about Mullins of Kintyre as he's coming over to that part of the country?
With all his
headline maker, TC.
Might just go with Willie Do It or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Mullins of Kintyre is got to be the one. Yeah, it's going to be soft ground there. It's drying days Friday and Saturday, but there's due about 4 mil today. Just spoke to someone up there and it's spitting at the moment. But yeah, soft ground's a fair assumption, dry and soft. And it's currently soft, good to soft at Newbury. Now, the going stick reading suggests it's a lot deeper, but I think the going stick readings, they're doing something with the ground these days where the going stick readings are artificially low. But three drying days at Newbury by the looks of it. So you might even get good to soft stroke good ground, and we might get some high profile non-runners as a result. But we'll come on to Newbury and the non-runners potentially a bit later.
Okay, well, that is interesting then, actually. Yeah, I didn't realise they had quite such drying conditions predicted. Let's kick off with Ayr then. TC, I'm going to come to you first for the 1:15, please. 2.5 mile handicap chase. Sam Bruin here at 2-1 to back up the Aintree win under Bros for Paul Nicholls. Pembroke for the Skelton Yard with the wind surgeries next at 4-1. Then Uncle Phil for Willie Mullins at 4-1. Those are your top three. Those are the names we're talking about. And bang, first race at Ayr on Saturday, all coming together.
Yeah. Obviously, Sombrew, very, very impressive at Aintree, coming back to the sort of graded form he showed in France a couple of years ago. Sportsbook are completely ducking that one at 2-1. Is a point bigger elsewhere. But Bryony can get to the front again. You know, she could do it. She's on fire at the moment, isn't she? When she's getting the opportunities. Zane Knights yesterday, she's just dotted up on from the front again on Pretending. Big gamble at Cheltenham on Thursday. We're recording this at 3:00. So, yeah, it all depends whether Uncle Phil or Trapline Law, who do go forward as well, just spoiler party a bit there. At the current prices, couldn't really see a bet. I mean, free Sombrew would interest me. But like I said, the sportsbook are ducking her currently.
Okay, interesting. So sort of watching brief there then, in case he goes a point bigger for TC. Daryl, how are you playing this race? Are you with kind of the big three in inverted commas or somewhere else?
Well, I think you can pick holes in all of the big three, really. You know, I think they're there because of this training championship at the moment. Sam Brew, obviously, that it was very, very impressive at Aintree and does look at horses ahead of the handicap. A quick 9-day turnaround, though. He looked a bit tired crossing that line that day. I thought personally it was a good effort from the front, strong ride. Will he be able to back it up? I'm not so sure. Pembroke's got so many holes in him. He looks like a sponge. You got Uncle Phil, who is actually rated 150. Like, I'm surprised he wasn't running in the Arkle. He did a brilliant time when he won, when we last saw him 98 days ago. But again, we haven't seen him for 98 days. I thought there was loads of pace in this. I didn't think they were going to give Bryony a soft time, but she got an entry for part of the race. And I thought that perhaps Nico might just be aware of that and just might revert to hold up tactics on Persian Time, who is a horse I think is more than capable off his mark of 136. He won't mind what the ground does, really, I don't think. He's a strong stayer at this trip. Long home straight. So if the pace does start to collapse, he's going to have plenty of time to get motoring and get going. Obviously, he was second to Jello at Newbury back in December, which is a good piece of form, which gives him every right to be in the mix here. And Nicky Anderson's got a good record in the race, so perhaps he could just nick this one off the big three trainers.
Okay, Persian Time then, 7-1 currently with Betfair on the sportsbook. Brendan Duke, will this be first strike to Mullins here?
Well, no, I'm inclined to agree with Daryl. I mean, it's an interesting race. It's loaded with pace, and we have the lesser spotted 10-pound rise from the UK handicapper for two horses in here. Fair enough, dealing with unexposed horses, they could still be well handicapped. Uncle Phil, 11 pounds higher than when winning the Dan Moore. Granted, you need a few pounds in hand to win that. But I thought that this Persian Time had got away with it a bit, getting 3 pounds for the Kent to win. I mean, Soul Icon was second. He was well backed. I mean, you go back to that Ascot win beating Public. I mean, granted, ultimately Persian Time was a lucky winner probably in that race, but it's decent form would suggest that this mark isn't beyond them. I thought he saw plenty of daylight in Kempton as well, but even with that, he relaxed better than he has been in his races. Unexposed horse, he's only had 8 runs. 7-1 looks a little bit big to me.
Okay, 2 votes then for Persian Time from Daryl and Brendan, and TC watching the price of Sam Brewer up at the top of the market. On we go to the 150, 3 mile handicap chase here, and Montgomery is your 4-1 favourite in this. 13 go to post, and this is the first of a whole host of extra place races Betfair Sportsbook has on offer. This is 4 places instead of the usual 3. Montgomery for Venetia Williams, 4-1 favourite. Deeper Blue for Harry Fry, 6-1. Mofasa in there for Paul Nichols, 7-1. And Sharjah, the old veteran, over for Mullins at 7-1. He's been brought out, put on the boat to try and win this trainers' championship, Brendan. How did you vote in this, please?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky race, 4-1 the field. I'm inclined to take on the 5, though, Montgomery. That was a scruffy round of jumping he put in Bangor. Ultimately won last time out, but might be exposed in this better company. I looked at Inch House as well, went off a very short price in Newbury and has some good form behind the likes of Stumptown earlier in the season. If you forgive the Newbury run, you're getting a price here. But ultimately, I ended up with Marble Sands. Okay, well, I mean, 147 is no bargain, but he'd been running well. He ran well in a grade two behind Hermes Allen and then went to Kempton over Christmas. I mean, he's a better horse going left-handed, and he was exposed in grade one company. Now, he went back to Musselburgh, which is a right-handed track, as you know, and managed to cope when winning on his penultimate start. The second's let the form down since, but the third has won. It would probably be a bit of a stretch to say Monmoral gave the form a boost, so I won't say that. I am conscious that at 147 is probably as much as he can have, but I mean, he's not an exposed horse. I think he'll improve for going left-handed. I might have a little bit of a class edge here. I'm sure he'll run well. I think he's a good, solid each-way bet at a double-figure price.
He's currently 12-1. And Daryl, did that noise mean that you were in agreement again with Brendan? You've been stealing his work?
Yeah, it looks that way. Yeah, because I was going to say, I can't believe this Montgomery's as short as he is at 4-1 as well. And I was going to say Marble Sands. I think the angle into him is going up in trip, back up to 3 miles. Over fence, I think he tried it a couple of times in graded company, but he won both his starts this season in handicap company. He was a good winner here on the clock as well on his seasonal reappearance back in November, beating Paris Encore. That form worked out fairly well. The ground, I suppose, is a slight, so I prefer it a little bit quicker. But he is bred for stamina. Like he's out, by Marta line, he's got stacks of stamina, produced loads of stone horses. Same on the dam side, Apollogate, out of Apollogate Dam. Should be loads of stamina in a pedigree. Going up in trip could really suit him. Nick Slater's gotten well in this season, twice been on, twice he's won, claiming that all-important £5 just to ease the burn of top weight. I thought it was actually quite a poor race with loads of these needing to bounce back, and I thought he was really rock solid at a double-figure price. I mean, Shah Jahan stepping up 3 miles. This is just rolling the dice, surely, isn't it?
This is just get all the prize money we can type territory.
Yeah.
TC, are you in agreement with Daryl? Well, and both of them really, in regards to the quality of the race kind of not quite stacking up?
I think it's a very winnable race. If you've got a horse that's handicapping going forward, and that's what I think Deeper Blue is. Harry Fry's obviously among the winners. I think he's 4 from 8 this month. First time cheap piece on the horse. He's got a better strike rate with first time cheap pieces he has with his general strike rate, which is always a positive. And the horse is just improving as he's stepping up in trip. Now, he finished second to Henry's Friend, who went on to win the Reynolds Down. And he finished a good second to Neil Moon in a good time at Newbury last time. He went up £3 for that. But like I said, it was a good second in a good time. And he felt they pulled miles clear of a Buffalo Charger in the third. So, yeah, with the sportsbook claiming 4 places, they are just 6-1, but I think the 6-1 is fair. There's bigger out there, but I think 6-1, 4 places, with that profile, everything about him is a positive. So Deeper Blue each way, 6 is 4 places.
Lovely. What journey is from Harry Fry's base to Air? Must be 8 hours or something like that, I would have thought. Long old trip, that one. Let's roll on to the Scottish champ. Oh, the little Scottish accent there. That'll offend a few people, won't it?
No, you have to explain that they're currently endorphins coursing through you, Vanessa. So you're going to be, you can do what you want, right?
Yeah, quite.
I don't think anybody listened to that would actually put two and two together and make out that was a Scottish accent. So right. I don't think they could be offended.
Okay, great. Good. And if you're wondering what Brendan's referring to, it's because I'm off the back of my PT session. So hence why A, I look like this, but B, he's referencing those endorphins. Right. The Scottish champion hurdle up next. TC, I'll come to you first here. Another extra place race because we've got a big field, 15 going to post for this and nearly 60K, well, 56,000 up for grabs. Ludusud for the Skeleton Yard, 3-1 off the back of the excellent run at Cheltenham when we saw him in the county hurdle behind that brilliant ride on Absurd. Favour and Fortune, next best for Alan King, 5-1. I mean, look, I'm not going to go through them all. Nichols has obviously got a few in here, including Rubo is 10-1. TC, loads in here. We're going to have a strong gallop.
Let me get my pace map for you. Hang on a sec. Call up my pace map. Just bear with me while I call up the email I sent myself earlier on this. We have got...
Here we go.
Rubo, Benson, ? Effinok Fizz, Affadil, Prominent, ? So not a great deal, but four...
Okay.
Four potential four goes, so we should have enough to go at. I like the complete outsider of the field. Ginger Mail. 33-1 with the sports book, top price out there, and there are also 4 places. I couldn't work out why he's so big. Course 4 figures in handicaps, 1-2-2. Alexander, Nick Alexander's brilliant form in March, and he's carried that on to April. Just the horse is just very, very solid. He obviously a good second to Cracking Rhapsody, who's crossed swords with 3 times recently. In the Moor battle, I thought he was going to win the Moor battle at one point, but he's been put up £2 for that, but he's actually £6 better off and waiting to reverse the placings with the winner. So yeah, I think he's a very solid profile. His only disappointment this year has come when they tried him an advisor, they ditched that and he's running these normal cheap pieces. So yeah, I thought 33s, 4 places, Ginger Mail will do for me.
Okay, as you say, rank outsider of the lot. If you can hear something weird going on, it's because my window cleaner's arrived. But anyway, we'll just plow on. Dogs are barking at the window cleaner. Sorry about that. Brendan Duke, you can go next in the Scottish champion hurdle. We've got a rank outsider in the mix. Do you think it's up for grabs away from the top of the market?
Yes, just about. I mean, Load of Sud looks shorter to run well. It's just 3-1 about a horse that is going up in the handicap for getting beaten, albeit in high quality handicaps. Affadil is £3 better off with him for a 3.5 length beating in the county hurdle. Now, you could certainly argue that Affadil, the Gingell, stole a few lengths at the start in the county. But whatever bit of luck he had at the start in the county, he had no luck from that standing start in Aintree. I know all eyes were drawn to Go Dante, who in fairness ran a remarkable race given what happened to him. But Affadil wanted to line up prominent, and he just shied away from the tapes, whatever to do with the standing start. So he was in the wrong position, tanked through the race, took it up between the last two, and ultimately just ran out of puff. I thought it was another big effort. He did very well in the spring last year, won at this meeting. He's a five-year-old, but I mean, he's had plenty of racing. But I just think he's on a mark that he can be competitive off. I expect a good run. And I thought, again, at a double-figure price, I thought he was just a fraction overpriced.
Affadil is currently a 12-1 shot for the Paul Nicholls Yard. And the same price is First Steel, Daryl, for Nicky Henderson, who's had this wind operation since we last saw him. There was a time in my life, and I'm happy to admit these things, that I thought First Steel was going to be a much better horse than he has been this season anyway. I know he's not being disgraced, but First Street, sorry. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there was a time where I really thought he was going to step forward.
Yeah, I did. I just thought he had a lot of racing early on, and I don't know if he's just sort of paying for that a little bit now. Like, people are saying that Nicky Henderson's now in good form, which is remarkable because he's had six winners since the Cheltenham Festival, and none have been bigger than the price of 11 to 10. Yeah, he had no runner at the Cheltenham Festival price shorter than 9-1, and he was in dismal form. So I don't know why I said that, to be honest. I just wanted to say it. It's just bugging me. It just bugs me. But yeah, look, I think the market's got this bang on, really, at the top of it. Lure de Sud, Favour and Fortune. Favour and Fortune ran quite a remarkable race in the Supreme Novice Hurdle. He absolutely clattered, made a catastrophic error at the first. Then he blundered the fourth, and I thought he actually ran above himself that day. He was trying to give plenty of weight to Fun, who's rated 134 extra time before in a muddling race, really. So, look, he's into a handicap. 1.38's not beyond him. So, I don't think he's sort of, you know, handicapped out of things by any means. And the same goes for Lure de Sud, who I understand he's going up in the handicap, but he's gone up £9 for a second in a Betfair hurdle, which worked out remarkably well. And then a second in a county hurdle where it was a slowly run race. And I felt the mistake at the last, where basically it brought him to a standstill, just cost him plenty. And he was just outsped by a former flat horse and Absurd. I think he's a winner in waiting, really, Lure de Sud, off a mark of 1.38. And this is easier than his last two races. So I will just side with him. I expect Favour and Fortune to give him something to think about if he can jump well enough. But Lure de Sud is a solid option here with ground in his favour.
Okay, brilliant. On we go, TC, to the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle, 3 miles, half a furlong at 3 o'clock. Another one of our extra place races, 4 places on offer here, 11 going to post. And the market is really dominated by this Trainers' Championship fight, essentially, because Willie Mullins has 3 in here. Near the top of the market, £0.01 is your 3-1 favourite. Then you've got Dan Skelton's Coco Mademoiselle at 4-1. Sailor V for Mullins again at 5s. Larchmont Lad for Nicholls 11-2. And Pink in the Park at 7s for Mullins. Those are your top few. Who's the wrong price in here? There's got to be some wrong prices in here.
Well, there were. They've already been corrected. Ottozzini opened up 14s with a sportsbook, and that's been backed into 9s.
Okay.
The angle of that one is there's not a lot of pace in this race. Ottozzini is the most likely to go forward, but Sailor V could pester him a bit. But yeah, I thought he was fairly handicapped. I thought she was fairly handicapped, Ottozzini. Was in form, won at Musselburgh. Ran a decent race on second at Doncaster last time. It probably didn't run up to the Musselburgh form, but the handicapper, it's not often the handicapper drops him a couple of pounds for a very solid run, which he has done. Saying that, you know, she is £4 lower in Ireland, but that's pretty much de rigueur, isn't it? But yeah, I thought Ottozzini in form, off a fair mark with the pace angle. The Stuart Crawford Yard isn't in great form. I think they're 1 from 23 over here since Feb. They're only 1 from 24 in Ireland, but they've had a couple run well in defeats recently. So At that kind of prices that Ottozzini is, I imagine you'll get 12 to 1 win only on the exchange, because obviously the fixed odds price with the extra places is a different kettle of fish to the win only exchange price. So yeah, Ottozzini in here. The 14s may have gone, but if you can get double figures on the exchange, which I imagine you will do, I think she'll go well from the front.
Okay, brilliant. 14 she opened up. Wow. Currently 9 to 1, just as a note there on the sports book, but all prices as per
And it's
TPG.
four places as well, yeah.
Yeah, 4 places, absolutely. Brendan, how about you in here? Did anything jump out the page as underpriced or overpriced as a result of the Mullins trio in here?
Well, I suppose the striking thing about the race, Vanessa, was the Mullins trio and the class edge they enjoyed. So I've sort of concentrated on those three, given I think it's £11 back to the fourth horse in at the weights. And I was leaning towards Penny 100, as indeed it must be said, is the market. Her form behind Jade Tegruji a couple of runs suggests a mark in the low 130s isn't beyond her. She's not exposed. Has stamina to prove now, and she did disappoint when stepped up and trip on penultimate start in Limerick, but she was just too keen that day. I don't know what happens, because she's generally quite a relaxed sort. So I'd hope she'd settle better here, and I think she might just be the classiest animal in the race. But 3 to 1 is it's no bargain at that price, I'll grant you.
Okay, a penny 100 then for Brendan. Daryl, how about you? Are you with Mullins or others?
I'm with none of them. I couldn't work it out, in all honesty.
You did tell me that. I'm so sorry. Do you know what? I had that note. Blame my window cleaner. He's distracted me. You, though, Daryl, can kick us off then with the. Oh, God, I was about to do it again. It's like he's kicking me or something. Having to say Scottish in a very un-Scottish accent. Right. The Scottish Grand National, 4 miles, 26 runners. Heading to post here and 6 places instead of 4, Daryl Carter. And your market looks like this. Gipmaker for Jamie Snowden, have been well fancied, well touted for this from a good way out, 13 to 2. McDermott in here for the Mullins team, 7 to 1. Mr. Incredible, obviously, didn't have a race at Aintree when we last saw him just a week ago, turned around very quickly, 7 to 1. Angler's Crag in here, 8 to 1, really on a roll, hasn't been seen since Newcastle. And Daryl, I'll come to you off the back of a comment on him because I interviewed Brian Ellison and Henry Brooke after the day one at Newcastle. I was there, obviously, for Sky. And they were really explaining in detail that day what a difficult ride this horse is and how there might be still plenty of improvement to come, but he is just not straightforward. And as a result, makes Henry Brooke's efforts in the saddle with this horse even more impressive. So that's my little note on him.
Yeah, they were quite bullish as well before that race for him as well, weren't they? So fair play to him for landing that. This is much, much deeper though. So he's got a stiff task here, I think. Very much respect Gipmaker at the top of the market. He would have won the Kid Mule by 18 lengths if he take out the subsequent Grade One winner in it. So you know he's a progressive horse going the right way. Definitely see the claims for him. I was just going to take a stab at a couple of prices, if I'm honest. Surrey Quest is a horse I've liked for a long time, with a view to sort of extreme stamina trips. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it, if a former Nicky Henderson can win another national a week apart? Because obviously I am Maximus last week in the Grand National formerly with Nicky Henderson. But this lad is run at Newbury when he won the Mandarin, compared very favourably to Henry's Friend, and he's a horse you want to catch off a break. I think they've lined him up for this for a long way out after he disappointed at Doncaster, where the ground would have just been far too quick for him. Soft ground will suit him. He can jump very well on a going day. He just travels sweetly, and he's a strong, strong stayer. And they did think a lot of him at one point before he moved to Toby Lawes, and Toby Lawes has done a brilliant job of him. So I think he's a big price. I think there's more to come off a mark of 133. He's only 7. There could be more to come from him. Elvis Mao is the other one I couldn't believe was 50 to 1, really. He arrives here on the back of a career best at Carlisle and deep ground. He's 3 for 6 over obstacles here at Ayr. He's been in the frame 10 of his 16 runs. I know he's 10, and I know his mark is pretty steep, but he's only carrying 11.3 thanks to the likes of Stay Away Faye that's in here. Just loves Ayr. He's unexposed at staying trips. 50 to 1 is a fair price about Elvis Mao, I think, for a horse that loves this venue.
Given the prices of Surrey Quest and Elvis Mel, 33s and 50s respectively, Daryl, are they with the extra places they each way shout or win only?
They would be each way shouts, so I'd half my normal stake. on the pair of them, back and both each way.
Okay, lovely. Brendan Duke, if Kevin Blake was on this show, he'd be telling us about stay away fake, class angle in a big handicap, wouldn't he? Wouldn't that be the drum he would be banging on this episode?
Well, yes, I mean, definitely has potential open trip, has Cobden. I suppose you could say...
Why didn't you call him the boy Cobden?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, has the boy Cobden. Apologies. I mean, there's so much to say about Stay Away Fake. I suppose you could argue didn't back up brilliantly at Aintree from the win in the Albert Bartlett last year, although it wasn't a terrible effort in Aintree. Now, Dodge definitely has potential at the trip. I could see the argument. Needless to say, it took all my strength to overlook him, Vanessa. So, I would probably have a saver there. But now that the boy Blake has got a mention, I have to think, you know the way he enjoys it, the odd pod experiment? Well, let's have a little thought experiment here. So, let's say the UK handicapper looked at, I know the way you're thinking, pre-Cheltenham, the way it's coming at, I want to let this horse in off 145, could have some egg on my face here. We give it 146, close but no cigar, lads. Well, in that case, Gitmaker would have won the Kim Muir by a yawning gap from Wacker Clan, who was a proven Cheltenham performer, and HTB, needless to say, had the bombing at Cheltenham. And if that had happened, how in the hell could he be £1 higher for the Scottish National? I mean, he wouldn't have got 10. Well, he might have got 10. You wouldn't have, but certainly he looks to have got away with murder to be £1 higher here. I suppose he was a big price in the Kim Muir coming off the back of a disappointing performance at Ascot. But I mean, that was around Christmas time and he didn't run again till Cheltenham, which would suggest they maybe found a little something. Before that, he'd been relentlessly progressive. It's only had 11 career starts. The sports book granted do make him fav. Some of the other firms disagree. I'll be surprised if he doesn't go off fav here. And it just, I mean, maybe his stamina will give up, but I mean, the horse just looks to have bottomless stamina. I think he'll improve for the trip. So he looked a worthy fab to me, Gitmaker.
Little bit of intel on him from jockey William Biddick. Again, another interview intel, as we'll call it now. I interviewed him before the Kim Muir the morning of because, anyway, I did. And when I asked him about his ride that day, Gitmaker, obviously, he said his one concern was a big field. The horse doesn't like to be surrounded by other horses, so okay. He wanted to try and find him in a pocket. And obviously, story checks out, given that most of his winning has been in small fields. And it was just an interesting side note. And then the way in which he went through the race and the his finishing effort, I was like, well, didn't need to worry about the big field, did he? But that was just the side note they had going into that race. But maybe those doubts have been put to one side now off the back of that. TC, over to you, please.
Yeah, I agree with the Gitmaker angle. Okay. I'll probably have him as a saver. So I don't want to lose if he wins. But my main dart in the race, the sportsbook are giving six places, but I'll probably go win only on this horse. Ballygriffin Cottage. Stamina unproven. So obviously, and there's tons of pace in here. I could go for them all, but I think I've got about a list of about 11 potential four guys. But I just like the way the Ballygriffin Cottage is coming to the boil. He was rated 145 after he was really devilishly impressive when winning on Betfair Chase weekend at Haydock in 2022. But the wheels came off there. He bled at Wetherby last year, and then he followed that with a pulled up, last of three and a pulled up. But there was a step in the right direction at Ascot when he was fifth, staying on into over 3 miles there. And I think he probably should have won at Sandown last time. Jockey got into a little bit of trouble rounding the final turn. He had to switch. He got worried out of it on the run in there, but the winner did take him across the track as well. So I think all things considered, I think he probably should have won that day. But yeah, like I said, given his back form, given that he's been coming forward, I've just had a text and say it's raining heavily at air now. So like you said, there is a couple of drying days after day, but I think if it's soft ground, I think that will be in its favour. And I just think there's some upside to him, just the way he's come back from from that bleeding and some very, very poor performances in the last two starts. So yeah, Ballygriffin Cottage for me, He is 20 to 1, six places if you want to play each way, but I'll probably be playing him when only on exchange at a few points bigger.
Okay, air done and dusted. Let's bounce down to Newbury, top class flat action. We've got Guineas Trials and we've got good horses in the supporting races as well. We will start with the 130 at Newbury over the mile, four furlongs. It is the John Porter. And we have the Derby favourite. What was the Derby favourite in Arrest is your 11-8 favourite here, taking on Hamish for the Haggis Yard, a horse we know so much about, 11-4, an 8-year-old now. Al Kareem in there for Carl Burke, had a good start to his season thus far at 4-1. Those are your top three here. Daryl, I shall start with you. Arrest, were you, I know you weren't with him last year, were you? No, I don't think you were. I think that might have been TC, but are you with him here?
I was off and on with him last year. I wasn't too sure where to sort of pigeonhole him, to be honest. Well, this is what Tony mentioned at the start of the show, that the drying ground could really affect some races at Newbury. If it does dry out, this is definitely going to be one of those races that is going to be really badly affected. As we are at the moment on soft ground, I mean, I'll update in the column, but I do like Mustaba for William Haggis, who you've got to forgive the run in France last time where he blew out 35 days ago. But last year here, I can't get that performance in the Horace Hill handicap out of my head. It was just electric from him. Now, I think the key to him is that he wants deep ground. He followed that up with a neck defeat to Point Lonsdale, staying on in the Huxley Stakes over 10 furlongs. I think the move up and trip is going to suit him. I think he likes it here, and I think he wants deep ground. And on a going day, he is a very, very smart horse, I think. But obviously, this is going to come down to the ground. So we'll have to update the columns closer to the time. But for now, on soft ground, Mustaba at 14s is a bit too big.
Okay. TC, do you concur that this field may well look a little different come the off time?
Like I said, it's soft, good to soft in places at the moment, but they've got pretty much the best part of 3 days grind, two and a half up to race time. So it could dry out to good to soft, maybe a bit of good, even though like the going stick reason suggests it's nearer heavy. But like I said, I'll probably ignore that. If that's the case, then I'd be more worried about Hamish coming out, because Hamish has been a non-runner on good to soft before. So obviously you're looking at a big rule four there. I think it might be about 20-25p. So just bear that in mind. I can see Mustaba. Wouldn't be that worried about a drying ground for that, but you know, a bit of dig will be fine. I think 14s is overpriced if you forgive that run last time. But the one I like at the same price is Chess Piece. Simon Christopher's horses are going all right. They haven't had a recent winner, but they've all been running. They've all been running to form and above expectations. Obviously, this horse was six in the ledger. Rounded off with a good second to Middle Earth, and he's just a very, very solid performer. Obviously, he stays further than this. That it might be a positive if it is kind of like sticky, drying ground. And it's interesting they've gelded him now. The Godolphin Mob, even if they've got a potential, Group One winner, they do go to the gelding, operation quite quickly, which is surprising with this horse, because I can see him really stepping up and winning maybe a soft route one abroad. But yeah, I like Chess Pieces after being gelded. Like I said, I think he's got the form to take a hand. I like the fact he's proven over further. And yeah, I thought 14s was very big about him. Obviously, it all revolves around Arrest, but even in the ledger second, even with a £3 penalty, he hasn't got that much in hand on a lot of these. So yeah, can see the case for Mustaba, but I'll just mildly prefer Chess Piece of the two at the same prices.
Okay, but essentially Mustaba and Chess Piece at 14-1 from the boys getting the vote, Brendan. So are you against the rest like they are?
I mean, the snide with Arrest, I suppose, is that he can throw in the odd stinker. Now, they do tend to coincide with quick ground, so I suspect he will run his race. But I put it to you, Vanessa, as a daughter of the soil, that we're not getting good ground here. I mean, how high is the water table at the moment? It's got high in its own supply, hasn't it?
Very high.
Very high. Very high.
I was going to make a reference to the water table being as high as something else, but I'm not going to. But the water table is basically just really bloody high. You're right,
it's
Brent.
It's really bloody high. So I'm not having any good ground situation. And it was interesting there that the sports book are keeping Hamish on side at 11-4. And I see why. I still thought there was too big a gap between them at 11-8 and 11-4. I mean, he has to concede a penalty, Hamish. I take that point. He's an 8-year-old now. But, I mean, you could argue he was as good as ever last year. I mean, it's a remarkable horse. He's had 18 career starts. He's won 10 of them. I mean, they mind him like they own him, don't they? So I expect he's going to be good to go here. And I just thought there was too big of a disparity in price between him and Arrest.
Okay, Hamish getting the vote then, the old boy. On we go to the 205, the Fred Darling. Just the 6 fillies going to post over the 7 furlongs for this, but a really intriguing contest, Daryl. Relief Rally coming back from, obviously, her super sprint effort here over the 5, then the Lowther at York, which she bolted up in again. I mean, she was quite the filly last year, and of course now stepping into a 3-year-old season and up in trip, what could she be? Well, she's 9-4 at the top of the market. Regal Jubilee is next best at 5-2, less proven, but of course has more stamina on the book already. And then Folgaria over from Italy, bringing in this Italian form, having a first run for Marco Botti at 5-1. And I'm not even going to pretend that I've got a handle on that Italian form, but maybe you do.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of form lines through horses that have run in France against horses that have run from Britain. I've got her around 100. So she's definitely not out of it by any means. Relief Rally's very, very interesting. I loved her last year. She was just electric. The form's worked out everywhere. The thing with her is that there was a lot of chatter last year from the Haggis camp saying it is kind of all about her 2-year-old campaign, whereas they don't feel like she's going to improve.
That was very bizarrely clear, wasn't it?
You know, yeah, very clear, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so that's fascinating that she's at the top of the market at 9-4 here, because they just think that a lot of horses are going to catch up with her, I suppose. But I really like her. I'm not going to bet her at 9-4. I want to see her, see how she has developed from 2-3, and see how she gets on here. Because on the balance of her form from last year, I think she should be winning this. So if she doesn't win this, I think alarm bells might start ringing.
Okay. If she doesn't win this, that's interesting. 9-4 though at the top of the market. TC, do you think, like, what do you think of her development into a 3-year-old year? Are you with her now, or are you expecting something to progress on past her?
And you're asking the wrong person to about paddock progression. But
you got your take.
I had to ask you because Brendan signed himself out of this race.
The only way we know how much she's grown and developed is if Dan Barber goes and stands next to her at the paddock at Newbury.
We're hoping she's grown half a Dan Barber since we last
saw her. Well, like I said, obviously everything you read about her last year, you know, 2-year-old was the time. He was making noises about, he had a similar filly with Bashara, who didn't kick on at 3 either. I wouldn't have an opinion about that. No massive opinion here. I mean, obviously, Richard Hughes could not be in better form. He's probably the most informed trainer going. And maybe Star Music will go from the front and make it a test for these others. But no, I haven't got a massive opinion in here. But Star Music, if you wanted a nominal tip on the basis of Richard Hughes, can do very little wrong at the moment.
Okay, yeah, he is having a hell of a time of it, isn't he? Let's move on to the Colts trial over the 7 furlongs again, the Greenham Stakes, a bit of a bigger field here, 11 of them, and Zoom Zoom is your market leader at 5-4. He was unbeaten last year over 7 furlongs, and already this season, his form has had a boost yesterday, wasn't it, at Newmarket with that Charlton horse winning. He's 5-4, the Zoom Zoom, top of the market here. And Army Ethos has a bit of race fitness on his side for the Archie Watson team, taking him on 11-2, the cheap piece to put on him for the first time. A Ballymount Boy in there, very exposed as a 2-year-old last year for the Keatley operation, 6-1. Mr. Sketch, Eve Johnson Horton stepping up in trips, 8-1. TC, is it fair to say this is a below average renewal of this? Am I being harsh or not?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. There's quite a few 105 plus rated horses in here. But yeah, the one that I quite like to really step up is room service. And now Kevin Ryan's been slow to get into form of late, but he's the signs are very, very promising. And I think room service is a horse who's going to really progress now. Now, he caught the eye when running well off the pace at York on quick ground last season. And then he went to that 300 grand Donny Sales race and absolutely bolted up from the form horses. I think they were, what were they? They were Johan Brahms and what was the other one?
Dragon Leader.
Dragon Leader. Yeah, so I, like I said, the handicapper took a very, very positive view of that. He reckons the form horses ran to form. And yeah, I think the horse has got plenty of improvement in him. He's ground versatile, so the weather can do what it likes and the ground can do what it likes. And I thought 14s was overpriced. And the 14s with the sports book is the best price around as well. So yeah, room service, a very positive mention for me at the current price.
I actually really dislike room service as a thing. I hate the idea of eating in the same place that you sleep. Never.
Just ordered alcohol.
Yes, yes, that is actually a good, great tactic.
And also, the glasses aren't very clean a lot of the time, so always order straws.
Oh, God, right. Well, that's a new one. I heard about some people washing their pants in the kettle, so now I've had to stop using the kettle in hotel rooms. But anyway, that's a side note for you all. Daryl, how do you feel about room service in this race, more specifically than the actual thing?
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance. Tony makes a very fair case there. The one I'm siding with, though, is James's Delight at 25s, who bolted up at Pontefract, got right back to his best there on seasonal return, and has got race fitness on his side, enjoys cutting the ground as a course winner here over Mr. Sketch very, very comfortably last July on his debut. I'm not entirely sure why Mr. Sketch is such a shorter price than James's Delight, particularly given that James's Delight clearly relishes testing ground. So I think he's an improving horse. I think he just has that fitness edge on a couple of these. And I think he can run a big race, the former course winner.
Okay, brilliant. Let's move on to the 315 big field mile handicap here, the Spring Cup handicap 21, and it is an extra place race. We've got five places instead of four here in the Spring Cup handicap. LATAM is your 7-1 favorite, wide open. Julie Camacho, second run for Julie Camacho now, and has that excellent Doncaster Lincoln run in the book already, taking on the Navaggio for James Horton, also with the new yard this season. And again, also bringing forward the form from the Lincoln. So Lincoln form up there. Thunderball for Oliver Cole. They've had a good new market this week. 9-1 again, the Lincoln form. Look Back Smiling, Gemma Tutty at 10-1 as well. Those are your top few. Brendan, better bring you back in here to earn your corn, please. Mm. Nice little race for you to unpick to finish on. Wide open, 7-1 the field. Go on, you can have a few swings at this if you need it.
Well, no, I just have one. I mean, there seems to be pace all over the track, but if you had to lean towards the pace, it's probably high. But I just took the draw out of it completely because it was just another complication in what is a very difficult race. So I ended up with this Talos Evolver, 20-1. Could argue he's underestimated in the market, as indeed he was in Newcastle when pulling off a shock on All Weather Finals Day, beating that Kingdom Come. That's proper form. He has some really good progressive handicap form. The snag with him is that he's a couple of blowouts. I backed him on his handicap debut in Newmarket after he was wildly impressive in Pontefract, and he blew out there. And indeed, he finished last on penultimate start. But the good runs far outweigh the bad runs. He's got up £5 for Newcastle, but I think that is a proper piece of form, despite the fact that he only won a short hedge. It was heavy ground in Newmarket, but I don't think that necessarily explains how bad the run was. It was good to soft in Pontefract, so I don't think you could say with any certainty that soft ground will be against them. I just thought for a last time out winner who's generally been progressive, 20-1 was a little bit big.
Yeah, big price. Okay, a little bit big, big price. Daryl, let's come to you next here. Are you with that Lincoln form? Is that what you want to latch on to here, like the market has?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and I was hoping the market wouldn't. I was with LATAM. I was with LATAM in the Lincoln, and gutted he came home far too late, but right favourite in my opinion. But I do like this Navigio. Is that how you say it? Navigio? Navigio? Navigio, we'll go with that. Yeah, this looks like a good pickup from James Horton. This horse absolutely weaved its way through the Lincoln. Just looked like it had stacks in hand and perhaps just lacked for a bit of fitness at the finish. But came from as far back, if not further than Latam. They ran almost identical races. It looked like he had come on a good ton for the run for me, to my eye. But you go back to that run last season with his former trainer. And he was giving lumps of weight to a horse called Didn't Have That Much To Do and Londoner and Helvic Dream. He's given plenty of weight to a couple of horses there who are rated in the mid-90s. He's running off 96 here. I think he's a progressive horse. He definitely wants soft ground if you go for his profile and look at where his best figures have come from. And if he comes on for that, I'd say he's well handicapped off 96. So if I had to pick between the two, which I'm not going to because I'm going to back them both, Navigio, we'll go with that.
No, yeah, I assume it's by Caravaggio, is it? I didn't.
That would make sense. No.
That's disappointing. Well, then I've got nothing on the pronunciation. So.
No, I tell you what I do have, though, is that they only brought him for 47,000 at the sales. He's already won for his Lincoln run just shy of 20. Like, you know, that could turn out to be a really smart little buy for James Horton. And obviously he's in a rebuilding process at the moment. So we wish him luck with him, Navigio. TC, over to you, please, for this.
Yeah, I was interested in Godwin's son, but I was hoping they'd put some headgear on it because he looked very awkward at Kempton on his final start. But if Haggis gets a horse this well-bred off a mark of 88, I expect him to do something with it. But like I said, I'd rather have it with a headgear. I mean, there's a half-brother to Tiber Flow. The dam was 109 as well. But I'm going to go with another family angle, and that's with Dancing Magic. Now, I was with him a couple of times last year. He ran a brilliant race first time up, went third in the Craven. Now, he's dropped to a mark of 96 since, and curiously, they've taken the headgear, they've taken the hood and the tongue tie on and gelded him. So he runs here without any headgear with that. And he's obviously well handicapped if Roger Till can get him back. And Roger's going all right. A lot of them are running above form and expectations. And I went back and had a look at the family history. And his two half-brothers are both improved for gelding. And Roger Till trained one of those as well. So maybe Roger Till's got the Midas cut with the pliers and Dancing Magic can go well here. I mean, there are five places. Given that, you know, gelding, he was out of form at the end of last season, I'll probably play win only. But there's some 14s knocking around. I expect him to be 15s and bigger on the exchange. So that's where I'll be playing with. But yeah, I fear Godwin's son. But I am going to side with Dancing Magic.
The okay. Lesser spotted, no headgear, no balls angle. This could be an interesting one going forward.
Yeah, it's like a scene in Pulp Fiction.
Right, guys, we need your naps, please. I think that about wraps up proceedings. So just naps time. Before we do, don't forget the note on safer gambling. I know I say it every week, but I do genuinely mean it. Just use Betfair's safer gambling tools. They're there, they're ready, they're right for you to start using when and if you feel that you need to. And there's something for everyone there. They're easy to find on the Betfair website. So go and sort them out, have a look through them if you so wish, because we wanted to have fun with it. But as always, we want you to do it responsibly. Daryl Carter, can I have your nap, please?
Yes, 240 Newbury, James's Delight, 25s.
Beautiful. Big price nap to kick things off. Brendan Jute, yours, please.
I'll be absolutely delighted, Vanessa, if Gitmaker can get it done in the Scottish Nash at 3:35.
Lovely. Straight in there with the big race on the day. What about you, Tony?
Tony. First time you've ever called me Tony.
Tony or TC?
It's like my mum calling me Anthony. God bless her. My nap is going to be the next time in a hotel room, I am going to boil my underpants in the kettle. But that's further down the line. I'm going to go with Deeper Blue in the 150 at Ayr.
Okay, perfect. I should ask you what you like being called TC, because I always call you TC, but there is a racing presenter who gets called a number of different versions of his name and doesn't appreciate it. I will leave that to your guesswork, but I've had to
Anthony Stroke Tony Ennis.
101 shot landed by TC.
Most people call me TC or Calvin, yeah. And what the TC stands for varies wildly. With most people, it stands for total, but yeah, no. Yeah.
Love it. Right, look, lads, this has been fun, and I'm so looking forward to Saturday. Everyone out there, thank you very much for joining us. As always, have fun with it, do it responsibly. Join us again on Monday for Wade In. But that, for the time being, was Racing Only Better.